Hi everyone, my name is Amir and I'm a grateful recovering alcoholic. I'm so incredibly grateful to be here today. I just want to first start off by welcoming to the people who identified as new, Raphael and everybody else. I want to thank Michelle for asking me to be her 10-minute speaker. Thank you so much. And I cannot express enough gratitude for the High Desert, Mark, all of you guys that make this meeting available for me. And I've been coming here for 2 years and it's completely transformed my spirit, my life, and the community and the fellowship that I'm a part of. I'm so incredibly grateful for it. What it was like. My dad was a alcoholic and a drug addict, and my mom was a sober, hardworking woman, and my dad was hardworking too, but he just never really found the rooms. His mother introduced them to like opium and heroin, so he was abusing it, and my mom was very upset when I was really young. And we migrated to this country. I think I was like probably around like two. And when my mom finally, started seeing that my brother, I have one older brother who's 6 years older than me, that he started to like find the paraphernalia and all that. That's when my mom gave him an ultimatum. He's like, you have 2 years to get your stuff together, start working again, because he stopped working, or you're gonna have to leave because I don't want this to be around my kids. So eventually, he couldn't get it together. One day he came up to my room. I was 8 years old watching Sailor Moon or something and eating the waffles that my mom made me. And he says, hey, I'm going to be gone for a little while. And I felt something really weird happen at that time emotionally to me. I ran back downstairs and, he was gone. I saw him maybe one time after that in person. And that was really heartbreaking for me to go through. I remember being an introvert. From then on, and maybe a little bit before, but definitely then on, I started to get picked on in school, bullied. I was so uncomfortable. My brother started to kind of like physically abuse me and emotionally abuse me because he was abused by my dad. My mom was trying to be really controlling to make sure I wasn't going to get into trouble and all that stuff. I was really depressed. I switched schools. I flunked out of seventh grade. I didn't, I went to continuation in ninth grade. Barely made it to high school, and I start smoking weed, or I take my first drink at 16 at my uncle's house, and I like completely blacked out. Something happened to me when I took that drink. It definitely changed the way that I felt, and I was gravitated towards it for sure. I didn't have, my social life was kind of weird. Bouncing around schools I finally found some friends that were like smoking weed and playing music and jamming out and listening to like Hendrix and all this stuff, and everyone was like smoking weed, and I was like 18 and I started, and they were drinking and partying, and I wasn't in school or anything like that, but eventually I started to go to parties, and they talk about it being like fun with problems and then problems. And for me, the fun part lasted for about a year and a half, 2 years. By the way, my sobriety date is June 2nd, 2023. I have about 2 years and a little over 4 months. I started, drinking and smoking weed, going to parties, and then started to dabble into drugs like ecstasy. And drinking was a part of it the whole time as well. And I would get blackout basically almost every time that I would drink. And I would start isolating and using by myself. And I was powerless. And I was powerless once I picked up, and I didn't know it at the time. I didn't know that I didn't have the choice to stop. The book talks about that I had lacked the power of choice, and I can't bring into sufficient force the memory and the humiliation and suffering of even a week or a month ago. I forget how bad it was and how much I suffered the night before, a week, even a week later. And this kind of like went into my drinking and using all throughout my life. I didn't really know what I suffered from, and I was extremely stubborn when I came into the rooms of AA. I got my first DUI at 21. And I went to my first rehab at 21, and I didn't want to have anything to do with you guys. I differentiated myself every single time I came into this room. You guys were different. I'm different. I'm better. I can do this. The book talks about countless vain attempts to try to prove that I can control and enjoy my drinking, which is like crazy. I chased that till the ends of this earth, you know, to prove to myself. But long behold, I have this allergy. I can't stop once I start. So my mom loved me so much. I mean, she was, you know, she would have done anything to, make sure that I had a happy life. And she worked 7 days a week. And, even on the days off, she was working, cooking, doing whatever, as my dad was gone. And she was kind of was a single mother trying to provide for, my brother and I, who my brother left when, he was 18 and I was alone. And, you know, So I got into like harder drugs, like meth, as the years went on, and alcohol, and my life was really, really dark. I went in and out of rehabs, and just didn't want to surrender, didn't have the humility. But alcohol and drugs were going to beat me into a state of reasonableness, and my bottom was sufficient, you know, very early on, but. I just didn't want to surrender. I didn't, I just didn't have the humility, you know. As the years went on, there was a lot of like lonely nights of using. I would use by myself. It would be a lot of tears. I'd, completely, like almost like at 25, 26, I would, you know, I'd be at hospitals early on in my life. I'd be at hospitals on the floor, screaming in the psychosis, basically, at Brotman Hospital in LA, and that's where I'm from. My mom didn't know what to do with me, and I'm just going to this bouncing from this rehab to this sober living to that rehab. And I want to also say, I'm so lucky to be alive. That's the God's honest truth. I am so fortunate to be alive, to be sitting here, standing here, speaking with you guys. I it almost feels like I don't deserve to be here based off of my behaviors and how much damage and self-sabotage that I cause myself and for the people around me. You know, the fact that like you guys brought me back, you guys welcomed me back with open arms, that I had another chance. I just wanted another chance so badly. My dad ended up passing away in 2019. And then my mom passed away in 2020. So my dad, I didn't really have a close relationship with, but when he died, I remember being a little depressed. But again, like, you know, I don't know what it was. I didn't want to surrender. I didn't want to wave the white flag. I lacked humility for some reason. And when my mom died from ALS, it was the most difficult thing ever for me. I've been to this rehab called Design for Change like 10 times already at this point. Again, I've been to like 50 different treatment centers. 50! And I'm 36 at this point. I go there. After she died, I went to like 15 different emergency rooms, involuntary 5150s, in psychosis. I tried to kill myself. I didn't want to live anymore. I lost the home, the condo, the cash, everything that I inherited from my mom in 2 years that she worked 30 years for. And the gift of that is the desperation that I got from realizing like, holy crap. I had this God moment that came into my life. So I came into treatment. I worked the steps like my life depended on it. I did the first 8 steps in within the first 3 months of my sobriety. I didn't waste time. And today I have a sponsor, I go to meetings, I have commitments. This is the most important thing in my life, and Alcoholics Anonymous is by far the healthiest thing that has ever happened to my life. I'm so grateful for you guys for giving me just your warm welcome. You don't know what it meant to me after my mom died when I came in here and you guys were welcoming to me. It meant more to me than you could ever imagine. I'm just so grateful that you asked me to speak again. Thank you so much. And with that, I will close. Thank you so much.